On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, we talk a little bit about the hop journey. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at The Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello. Howdy. Hi, everybody. Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC, the author of Safety Sucks and Safety Sucks the Manifesto and 10 Ideas to Make Safety Suck Less. You know, I was talking about this the other day that it's weird. I think someone wrote a law somewhere over the past few years, maybe going into the pandemic, somewhere right around there, someone wrote a law, a rule, a general rule at the very least, that if you're going to be in work, I was going to say in our line of work, but it's not just ours. I think if you're going to have a job, part of having a job now is you have to have a book in a podcast. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's a law at this point. There are some great ones out there. There are some great books out there. I love it. I love that barrier to entry has been lowered so much. You think about that. If we were trying to do the stuff that we're doing, you know, 10, 15, 20 years back, trying to write a book. The original Safety Sucks book came out 5 or so years ago. I don't know, something like that. It's been a second. The latest 10 Ideas came out about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, or something like that. Imagine trying to get your voice out there 15, 20 years ago. Well, we know how hard that was. Most of us were around 15, 20 years ago. You know, 15, 20 years ago, it's early on in my career as a safety practitioner working in organizations. And, you know, social media was kind of in its infancy, really. I mean, there was stuff kind of happening, but we didn't really use it like we use it now. I mean, think back to like Facebook. You guys remember when you first got on Facebook? I remember that. I remember the MySpace days prior to that. I'm sure you do too, right? You remember going through your top friends list. And remember, you could do like the HTML code and you could tweak your MySpace page and you could do like super cool to where like your cursor was different. And then the music thing happened. You could, you know, are always changing your song. I'm sorry, I'm reminiscing about the glory days of social media before it devolved into a cesspool of arguments. No, there's a lot of great stuff. And that's where I was going with this, is that barrier to entry has been lowered so much that our voices can get out there. We can have these conversations. We can share these ideas. Books are the same. I encourage people to write all the time because I'm a nerd for reading stuff, but I'm a nerd for writing too. I just think it's good. We need that thought. We need those ideas out there. But that brings me back, I guess, full circle to my joke that you know, everyone that has a job now has to have a book and a podcast, almost to the point to where if people are hiring for jobs, they're looking at the resume and they're going, "Where's your book? Where's your podcast?" But I digress. I get, you can kind of hear, that's my empty cold brew. There's one last little short sip left there. Speaking of books, you all know that I tend to read a little bit of everything, just whatever interests me, just whatever looks cool and neat. And, you know, you've seen my bookshelf behind me. Many of you see the stacks of books that tend to clutter my videos. And so whenever we do a video version of the podcast or, you know, all the different kind of content that we're putting out over on LinkedIn and YouTube and stuff like that, you tend to see those books. And I tend to read everything from presidential biographies to psychology stuff to essays to poetry to just whatever. I go, that looks cool. Sometimes I get fooled, right? You know, the book and the cover, whole thing there. And the cover looks cool. And then I crack it open and go, well, that was crap. But rarely. There's value in so much of that stuff. But I've been very deliberate in not reading so much safety stuff, so much hop stuff, so much improvement stuff. All hop, nothing else makes Sam a dull boy. And it probably makes you a dull boy too. So I tend to gravitate just towards whatever I feel like reading. Sometimes that's a hop or a safety book. I've been recently reading Sidney Decker's latest book, Stop Blaming. And I say I've been reading it. I've just cracked the first 20 pages or so on a plane the other day. But where I was going with this is I've been reading a really interesting book by Caitlin Dotry. And if you don't know who Caitlin Dotry is, you should. Probably one of my most favorite content creators out there. Ask a Mortician is the YouTube channel, and it is exactly what it sounds like. And it's very interesting, super duper interesting. She really takes these interesting deep dives, thoughtful explorations into the topic of death and the funerary industry and kind of all these different things that you just, I don't know, you don't really think too much about, and they're wildly interesting. So I'd encourage you to check that out. But the book I've been reading is called Smoke Gets in Your Eyes and Other Lessons from the Crematory. And it is a great, an absolutely great read. So if you're looking for your next non-safety book and you're okay with a little bit of a morbid twist, right, it would be a cool book to check out. And she's got another one that I also bought, and I'll tell you the story behind that because you know it's always story time when we start, called Will My Cat Eat My Eyeballs? Big Questions from Tiny Mortals About Death. So they're wildly interesting books. Again, if you're looking for a new read that's not in our space, something that's insanely interesting, very thoughtfully written, and will give you some very strange looks on airplanes, I would definitely encourage you to check it out. Definitely check out that YouTube channel. It's a favorite of mine. It really is. She posts these more long format documentary style stuff. And it's a really nice break from the normal kind of YouTube stuff. That's like, you know how this works. Like most people don't want to watch something more than 37 seconds. So it's nice to get a nice video that's like 45 minutes long, an hour long, and takes a deep dive into the subject. So yeah, very great. But to the story part of our little story time life update, something here. I was spending some time with Avery the other day, Avery and Jarrell. I took a day or two off to just disconnect and spend time because probably by the time you're hearing this, many of these adventures are underway, but I'm spending some time outside of the country. It's taking me away from home for a little over a week at a time, and it's multiple trips to all the corners of the globe. So by the time you're hearing this, this particular adventure that I was relaxing, pre-resting, and stocking up on Avery and Jarrell time for was heading to Africa. So going down there, talking hop, talking learning teams, all the kind of cool stuff that we do. But I was looking for something to do. So we went out. We went to one of our favorite restaurants in downtown Phoenix. If you're ever in the Phoenix area and you like seafood, if you like fresh fish, if you like seafood, if you like stuff like that, there's a place called Chula's. It's in Uptown Phoenix. You got to go there. I've spent time all over both sides of the coast and all along the Gulf Coast throughout my life. Some of my family, side story time, early on in my existence as a human, when I was a very young person, some of my uncles owned a seafood cold storage, like logistics business, massive multi-million square foot seafood storage stuff. Funny story, and this is probably a story to unpack on another day, but they started that by selling seafood out of a cooler in the back of a truck on the side of the road and grew it into this massive cold storage seafood and distribution business in southwestern Virginia. So where I was going with this is I have a taste for seafood. I never understood, like when I grew up, it blew my mind that you had to pay for it. Right? So it was a weird problem to have, right? It was a weird problem to have because they were always bringing stuff, like the freshest of the freshest of the freshest stuff to the house. And it was just in one of those, like, you know, those wax covered seafood boxes with the nice ice in it. And you'd be like, oh, there's king crab legs. People just get these for free. Right? No clue. No clue until I got much older and went, holy crap, how do people afford to eat this stuff? But side story into another story into another story. You guys know how I do. This is just how we roll around here. But I enjoy good seafood, and that's a hard thing to find in the desert. And Chula is one of those places where you can find it. They have like a boat in San Diego, and they have a plane and something like that. It's like a whole operation, but it gets here fresh, which is kind of neat. Great place to hang out. So I'm hanging out with Avery. I'm hanging out with Drill, spending time eating some seafood, having a blast. And I'm like, what else can we do? So I just started Googling stuff, and near us popped up this oddity shop. And I'm into like quirky, weird stuff. I just like go looking around. I love a good antique mall. And an oddity shop kind of fits the bill. So we went into this oddity shop, and they had every single thing that you could imagine, like a lot of taxidermy stuff, a lot of skulls, a lot of this and that and the other, you know, down to like funerary stuff and like casket handles. And, you know, some of the stuff gets a little kind of give you the heebie-jeebies. They had human skulls. Wild. It was like a wild, interesting, neat, just very neat place to hang out. And I'd been meaning to buy these books for a while, as I mentioned from Caitlin Daltrey, and they have a massive bookshelf, and I'm looking through it, and it's so cool, and there they are, so I had to buy them. So that's a long story to tell you that's how I ended up actually possessing these two new books that I've been talking about for the past 10 minutes. Now, before we jump into today's topic, make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopner.com. Follow along on all things social media. You can find me on Instagram if you want more of just me sharing memes and kind of behind the scenes stuff and family stuff and all that stuff at The Hop Nerd. Super easy to find. You know, you can find me on LinkedIn. Make sure you click that follow button. It helps me a ton, and it helps us continue to get this message out farther and wider. When you see us share and stuff, if you like it, if you share it, if you comment it, if you do all three, it helps an absolute ton. It costs you nothing but 2 seconds, and it means the absolute world to us. Same thing with anything that you see us post on YouTube. I don't do much on the platform formerly known as Twitter, on X, right? And I do post there every now and again, but any of that stuff that you see, it helps us a bunch. I've been trying to pump out some new articles. We just released one a while back called Growing Hop. Make sure you go check that out. We've just put out some kind of rewritten stuff on learning teams and pre-event learning kind of stuff. So if you find those things useful, if you pull some value out of them, please be sure to share them on LinkedIn or wherever you post stuff. Again, it just helps us a ton. And if you enjoy the podcast, make sure that you like it, you share it, and all that kind of sort of stuff too. Last but not least, I will form words today at some point that sounds somewhat coherent. Here we go. You ready? I'm going to try. Last but not least. There we go. That sounded a little bit better. Last but not least. Sound like a WWE announcer or something like last but not least, if you need a hand this year, please get in contact at thehopnerd@gmail.com, or you can get in contact through the website. The email's about the easiest way to do that. My calendar is packing up for the year, and I don't want to miss out on any opportunity that I could have to get to spend some time with all of you amazing folks out there bringing human and organizational performance to life. I told you, words are not my friend today. Bringing human and organizational performance to life. I would love to be a small part, just a small part of your human and organizational performance journey. Man, oh man, like I'm loving this funky kind of change up music somewhere in the middle of the pod. I'm digging it. I'll say that now, and then like a week from now I'll go, I'm bored of that, and I'll change it back to like some heavy metal, or I'll change it to something else. I don't know. Maybe I'll just keep changing it. Every time my mood changes, I'm like, you know, I'm more in like a outlaw country Waylon Jennings kind of mood here lately. I have been in that mood for a month or so now. I've been really digging into some old school Waylon stuff. I love Waylon. I love Johnny Cash. Probably one of my most favorite artists of all time, John Prine, kind of all those folks, old Kris Kristofferson stuff, Merle Haggard. How can you not love that? You know, back when country music was about more than barbecue stained t-shirts and tractors, and I'm glad to see some of that kind of more, I guess it's referred to as alternative country now. It's almost like indie country music. It's making a comeback over top of the kind of like normal Nashville pop stuff. Fun fact, Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, Tennessee, it's a border town. It's a cool little town. Was actually the birthplace of country music. Not Nashville. That Nashville came later. It's an interesting thing if you want to dig into a little bit of a country music history there. But the town that I was born and raised in was about 35, 40 minutes from Bristol. I spent a bunch of time in Bristol, Virginia / Tennessee. Again, border town. And it's also home of the massive Bristol Motor Speedway, which I had the opportunity to go to a couple times while I lived there. I lived there for the first little bit of my life before I ran off and became a traveling something. just a nuclear vagabond, I guess is what I became. A suitcase in one hand and a hard hat in the other. Something I know that most of you folks out there can definitely relate to. But on to our topic today, the human and organizational performance journey. And I guess what I really want to talk about, there's three things. There's three kind of key thoughts that I want to explore a bit today. And it's this: the hop journey. It's slow. It ebbs and flows. And it's endless. Let's start right at the very beginning with it's slow. I know that's something, and actually I'm going to say this probably about all of these. All of these are things that I struggled with. Maybe it's not so much the endless part, but especially the it's slow and the it ebbs and flows part. Things that I really struggled with initially, working internal to an organization, helping to bring about this change, really leading this change in the organization that I worked for. I became like the person leading this change, and then over time, bringing in a couple other folks to finally help kind of propel this change throughout the organization. But it's slow. It is slow. I tend to think of it like this, or put it in this way, that it's like molasses down a wall in December. It's that kind of speed. It is slow. Now, it does have its moments of excitement and rapid growth and rapid change. Stuff just seems like it's going boom, 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 left, right, A, B, C, D. We are working our way through this thing. Look at this. We got that done. We got this done. We had like 100 hop conversations. We did all these sessions. We brought in some consultants. We did this. We did that. We're starting to speak the language. Things are starting to change. And then it's going great. And then what happened? Right? This is where I would tell you that you need to have a strong dose of patience. As the person bringing about these changes, and you're not doing it alone, you're not. Maybe at first, that's how it started for me, but you pretty quickly grow your little army of bright spots throughout your organization. If you want to learn more about that, I did post that article over on the website called Growing Hop, and we talk a little bit about that, and I'll probably explore those concepts a little bit more, maybe in the next episode or within the next couple episodes, but you can check that out. So you probably have grown those bright spots, you know, and you've started to build a bit of a hop team, I guess. I hate saying it like that, but it's a grouping of people that are passionate about doing things a bit differently and bringing about these changes. I don't know what else to call that other than a hop team or a grouping of bright spots or something along those lines. But you need patience. This team needs patience. Our leaders need a healthy dose of patience. The organization needs a healthy dose of patience. And where I'm going with this is, as it slows, as it gets into the grind, and it is a grind, it gets into the day after day after day, slow trudge towards better, we have to be cautious not to let our kind of normal, typical organizational approaches get in the way of progress. And what I mean by that is this, is as soon as it slows, we start to go down this path organizationally, where we go, what's next? What's next? We're losing it. We're losing it. We got to make a lot of noise. We got to print some posters. We need some hop t-shirts. We need to bring awareness. What's the next thing in hop? What's the next thing in hop? What's the next thing in hop? That sound familiar? That's why we've been doing the safety for a real long time. As soon as we just start breaking some ground on something, we just start making some changes, We just start doing things a bit differently. And we haven't even really given it enough time to take root and continue to grow, really sprout and bloom and grow. And we're already, as an organization, going, what's next? This feels too slow. Oh my God, if we're not doing more safety, then safety is going to get worse. And if safety gets worse, everyone's going to die. And that's not true. So we can't apply that same logic to HOP either. Patience. You need patience. You've had the conversations. You're continuing to have the conversations. At this point, when all that excitement starts to maybe settle down a little bit, because in the beginning it is very exciting. We're having these conversations, and they sometimes sort of secret conversations. They feel a little risque. They feel a little different because we're challenging organizational assumptions and a lot of times sacred beliefs, and we're toppling sacred cows within the organization, and it feels exciting, and it just feels a little punk rock. It's got a little edge to it. And then once that kind of newness starts to wear off, once that shine kind of fades just a little bit, we're real quick to start to go back down that path. And that path ain't all that great. A lot of times you end up running around in circles, chasing your own tail, a lot of wasted motion, when really what you need to do is just pause for a second and let stuff grow. Plant the seeds and water them. You're into that slow trudge, right? And by the time you get there, where I was going with this kind of comment before, was by the time you get to that point of that newness wearing off, you're having these conversations. I would venture a guess that your organization is even starting to talk HOP. Like, you're probably starting to hear that shift, because you can hear it, right? You're probably starting to hear that change. You're hearing that from if to when around failure. You're hearing leaders toss around stuff like blame doesn't really fix anything. We don't want to blame, shame, and retrain. Let's actually learn something. Let's actually improve something. Maybe not always, but you're hearing it, right? You're shifting those underlying beliefs and assumptions, and you're starting to see different approaches and tactics emerge within your organization. Give that some space. Like, when you get that slow, like, trods through the mud and you're just up to your knees in it and it's moving real slow, I would caution you not to feel the need to just jump and move. What's next? Hurry. Let it grow. Plant the seeds. Let it grow. Patience. Not just wasted movement. Give it some time to grow. Allow some time and space for those better beliefs and assumptions to really permeate into the organization. Continue having those conversations. Continue to focus on practicing those ideas, those assumptions, those beliefs within the organization. Just do the work. This is where you're just doing the daily work of doing things a bit differently. Allow those better assumptions and beliefs and ideas to take hold, and all the other stuff will start to emerge from there. It will become apparent over time. Now, I'm not telling you just don't do anything, but when it makes sense to move, move. Don't just jump through hoops and do jumping jacks and roll around on the floor wailing because it feels like it's moving too slow. It is slow. The journey is slow. Now, next on our list is it ebbs and flows. We take 10 steps forward, then we take 11 steps backwards, then we take 9 steps forwards, and then we take 27 steps backwards, and then we take 100 steps forward, like all at once. And it's back and forth and up and down, and we get really, really good at it for a while, and we get things way more right than we get them wrong, and then 1 week we get things way more wrong than we get them right, and we're doing real good at responding with curiosity and care, and then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, we shit the bed, and we're like, no, this one really needs blame, and then we do that, and it's back and forth. It's better and it's worse. Things grow and then they recede and then they grow and then they recede. But again, these steps over time, those steps forward start to outweigh the steps that we're taking backwards. You know, it's that stupid thing that's shared on the internet all the time of, like, you know, the line where it's like, this is what we think progress looks like. This is what progress actually looks like, right? That line, what we think it looks like is this perfect straight line upwards. And the one where we're like, what does it actually look like? And it's like up, down, all over the place, backwards, forwards, and, you know, squiggly lines, smiley face, hearts, then down into the dirt, and then back. It's just like that. that really is how it is. You're going to get it wrong. We talked about that in a previous episode. You're going to have missteps. You're going to definitely get lost somewhere along the way. You're going to have to stop and ask for directions. You're going to have to get back onto the highway and go 30 miles out of your way to get back on the highway and then find out that you went 47 miles in the wrong direction. But now you're back on the highway and you're moving in the right direction. You're moving where you want to go. Again, it's just how it goes. It's just how it goes. We need to try real hard to get it right. But we need to also understand that we're going to get it wrong along the way. And we can't let that getting it wrong stop us from moving forward. We learn from it because we're going to misstep. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to stumble. We're going to fumble and drop the ball. We're going to roll around in the mud and wail about it. Yeah. Yeah. That's how this goes. That's how anything goes in life that involves a healthy dose of change and trying to get better at something. That's just how it goes. Progress ebbs and flows. So just stick with it. Focus on trying to get it right, understanding that you're going to get it wrong. And when you get it wrong, you learn from it and you try to do it better next time. That's the one that I probably struggled with the most. That was probably the big one for me. This idea of like, we were doing so good. There are several power plants throughout the United States that if you go into a certain office and you move like a poster, you know, the poster that usually has like the trust us poster or like the value poster that is, you know, mandated by law within the organization that thou shalt have up or you're a horrible leader. If you move that poster, there's a hole behind, like a good sized head sized hole, at least. And I have a pretty big noggin, so a good sized hole where I would beat my head into the wall for these exact situations, you know, where we'd be real good at getting it right. Things were going great. We weren't, you know, we'd stop blame and shame. We were doing great. And then all of a sudden somebody comes along and goes, yeah, we take this pendulum. I don't know why we use the stupid pendulum thing. Can't we just say we're moving forward? If our organizations are stuck on a pendulum swinging back and forth, that means we're not ever making any progress. That actually means that we're static and growing towards stagnation. We should probably stop using that example, unless that's where you're really at, and that's kind of sad. So don't use that example. I hate that stupid example. I hate it. But they would use the pendulum example. We've swung too far to that side over there, and we've gotten too soft. We need to start beating people again. And then they would do that. Because these were senior leaders, and then we would finally coach them out of that. Like, you stop, like, you see, bad. You're making things far worse. You're making it more likely that we're going to kill somebody, not less likely. Right? We have those conversations, and eventually we get past that, and we grow, and eventually we beat the pendulum to pieces with a sledgehammer, and we're finally moving forward. But I struggled with that one, and I'm sure you do too. If you're on this journey, you know what I'm talking about. We go forward, we go back, but just hang in there. Now, It's endless. I don't think that there is an end to this. I just can't imagine that there being an end to this. This constant evolution is really the way that I tend to look at these things. It's this constant evolution, this constant growth towards better. It's the continuous part of continuous improvement, right? We're constantly trying to better the work world around us, to improve our approaches, to grow our approaches in a more human and humane and hop-centered version, right? To just make things better, to make work suck less, to improve the safety of work, the quality of work. And I'm just going to say, with all that stuff, just to grow towards operational excellence. That's an endless journey for us. And accepting that it's an endless journey is a big part of this. There's not a definitive beginning and end in this, because HOP's not a program to manage. It's not something to roll out. It's not something that we can put on a strategic timeline of strategic, phenomenal, amazing change, and it starts on March 1st and it ends December 27th and we're there. Like, it doesn't work that way, right? HOP is an operating philosophy. It's that. Now, at some point, I think from what I've experienced, what I've seen, there's a certain point of HOP maturity that we grow to where we don't even really call it HOP anymore. I think that we get to this point, and from what I've experienced, the organizations that I've seen mature, they mature to a certain point where they're like, yeah, we called that HOP, but really it's just the way we do business. That's a pretty sweet spot to get to. Yeah, we that's just... This error is normal. Blame fixes nothing. All these kind of ideas and better beliefs and better assumptions that we spend so much time talking about together. That's just in our DNA. That's just who we are. We don't have to call that anything other than us. So this journey is definitely an endless one. So back to our three things I wanted to chat about today about the hop journey. It's slow, it ebbs and it flows, and it's endless. It's a wild time, man. It is. It is when you're trying to bring about this type of change within your work world. It's slow, it ebbs and flows, and it's endless, and it's wacky and weird and wild. It gets strange, but the journey is worth it. And I wrote about this in the book, 10 Ideas, and I included some of it into that recent blog post or blog article, whatever I posted over on the website. And it is from the book, from 10 Ideas, but it's over there on that Growing Hop article. And it's this. And I'm going to read a bit of it to you, so forgive me, but it's this. The journey is long and slow, but it's worth it. I've had the distinct honor and pleasure of being involved in various companies' journeys towards human and organizational performance, towards the application of these concepts and ideas, and I'm here to tell you that 0% of them have regretted it. I've led these changes while working internal to organizations that were historically very traditionally based and had the opportunity to see and feel the changes for myself. This journey is long and slow, but it's worth it. To see and feel the results of human and organizational performance coming to life within your organization is breathtaking. Witnessing the changes quite literally gives you goosebumps. I've heard stories like that of a 30-year veteran of an organization describing how after an event, they were embraced by the company instead of being blamed and fired. I've listened to new employees compare a hop-focused organization to their last, highlighting the positive difference in their work-life experience. I've heard story after story, too many to share here, each describing how this fundamental shift has directly and positively impacted their working lives. These stories are not just tall tales. They're powerful indicators of a move in a better direction. They are a demonstration of bettering the working lives, the lived experience of those that reside within our organizations. This journey is worth it because the people within your organization, those that work tirelessly to get shit done and get shit done well, they are worth it. Your people, those workers that have been entrusted to your care, they're worth it. Man, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Seeing that click moment in organizations, seeing these ideas come to life, getting to be a part of that when I worked internal to organizations and now as a coach and a consultant helping organizations on their own unique hop journeys. Oh, gee, it's like I'm getting goosebumps. The hair is standing up on my arm just thinking about it right now. It's amazing. So absolutely, it is a slow molasses speed down the wall, molasses down the wall in December kind of speed journey. 100%. Yeah, absolutely. It's slow. It ebbs and it flows. 10 steps forward, 9 steps back. Yep, we do that quite a bit. Yep, that is a fact. And the journey is endless. It 100% is. But it is absolutely worth it. It's worth it. Because the people that work within your organization, they're worth it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.